how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I alas shall see. My joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Father, you are known for your love. Thank you so much that you have poured it upon us. Thank you that we have forever to rejoice in it. Thank you that it's centered first upon your Son taking our place. And thank you, Lord, that that means not only a moment in time, but for eternity, we are with you. Thank you for everyone here tonight, and may we praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Thank you.
This morning, or this evening, wow, this evening, you have to have at least one mistake. All right, this evening we are going to be reading from Psalm 65, so you can follow along if you'd like, or just listen as we read that together. We're going to be reading all 13 verses of Psalm 65. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man who chooses and causes to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us. O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who sit on the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people, they also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoing of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The rivers of God is full of water. You provide their grain. So you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your path drips with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this evening, and we are going to be treated with a solo this evening.
He never fails.
Thank you so much, Lincoln. That was excellent this evening. A good reminder that we serve a God who we do not need to apologize for. He's got a good reputation. Well, one of the, I don't know, call it awkward things about moving back to where you grew up, and one of the cool things at the same time is you run into people every now and then that you know, but you don't know why you know them. And they don't go to the church, and they just look familiar. And that's happened to me a few times where I just kind of awkwardly stare at someone, and they probably wonder why I'm doing that. And it's like, I think I know you. And sometimes it turns out I do know them. Other times it's just an awkward situation. Well, I had the opportunity, as you already heard, I ran into someone at the Family Fun Day that I did know, and I was lucky because I guessed the right name, and I said, are you so-and-so? And they said, yeah, I am. And of course, they were still looking at me funny, as I told you earlier, and so I explained who I was, and then, you know, suddenly the confusion cleared up a little bit in their face. And so I said, you know, I'm back in the area. I told them what I'm doing and so forth. And, you know, we got talking for a little while. And, you know, it was just neat to kind of catch up and hear what was going on. Not someone that I ever hung out with at school. Not someone that I ever really, we never ran the same circles or anything like that. But I knew this person. And so we just got able to strike up a conversation. And that was really kind of cool. And just glad that she said that, you know, they come out, they've come out several times to the Family Fun Day. Now, I don't know that I'll ever see their family here or not, but those are the kind of connections, of course, that we want to make at the Family Fun Day. You know, my prayer is that their family would make that decision then to come here. Got to meet a few other families at the Family Fun Day. Got to walk around a little bit and just ask people's opinions and thoughts on it. And that was really, really cool. And it was really refreshing. There was a lot of good comments, a lot of positive comments on the Family Fun Day. Now, I don't know how many of you here were part of the Family Fun Day, but if you were, we would really love to hear a little bit about what happened, maybe some interactions that you have, some praises, a testimony, whatever the case. And again, I don't know how many of you were there or not there, so if half the crowd wasn't there, then we need to hear from the other half of the crowd, all right? So the crowd, people that were there, we need to hear from you this morning, or this evening. I get that from my dad, by the way. My dad, he used to say good morning no matter what time of day it was. And we would often have to remind him, this is not the morning, this is the evening. It made no difference. It was just good morning no matter what. So I think he did that just to drive us crazy, and now he's got me doing it no matter what time of day it is. Anyway, so testimonies, thoughts, anything that you would like to share concerning the Family Fun Day. And, Isabel, you're going to be the first one to share? Are you, or you want to run around with the mic? Because I'll let you do both. Do you want to share? Okay.
I saw someone from school there, and she doesn't come to this church, but her name is Autumn, and she's a really good friend of mine, and I saw her in the bouncy house, and she came down with me with the slide, the bouncy house slide.
Tell you what, that bouncy house slide, those bouncy house, or all those inflatables were a big hit. Do you want to run around with this for me?
Yeah.
All right. Who else would like to share a testimony this evening? All right, we got a couple. Right up here first.
I had fun having you in the bouncy house. Me and Paul Robbins did the bouncy house, and I had a couple kids would look at me and say, why are you doing this? And I said, because we love you, and we want you to have fun. And they had a perplexed look on their face, like, oh, okay. But something that struck me, too, is the company that provides the bouncy houses, the inflatables, kept making the comment. He was so impressed by just the whole event in the behavior of the kids and parents. And he was explaining that he doesn't normally see that. And he was quite impressed, and he says, every year I come here, this activity is so different from all the others. So even to them, just the way our community and our church present itself is even a testimony to them.
I was with Lloyd on the slide, and the kids were well behaved. They didn't, like, nobody was mean to another kid or anything like that. They have a lot of energy, and they go down the slide many different ways until we put a little halt to that. But they enjoyed it so much. It was just fun to watch. Oops, there goes the Bible. Oops. Anyway, at the end of the night, I went and there was just two people sitting in the park, and I went and talked to them. They didn't have anything to do with the family fun day. And I had two of those crosses a bridge. And the woman didn't seem too interested, but the man did. And he asked me a question. It kind of struck me. He said, can Jesus even forgive the worst sin? And he was straight on, you know. And I said, yes, if you're truly sincere, truly humble, and make him Lord of your life. But I thought, wow, what a question to ask. I mean, I'm just starting to do this, and I get hit by that.
One of the things you notice, and we're going to notice it again when we do Trunk or Treat, parents really, when I talk to parents, they really appreciate that event because it's safe. It gives their kids something to do, something the parents can do with their children, and don't worry about anything happening, so to speak. They're not running out into the road or anything like that. And it shows you that when people know you care about their kids, makes a big difference in who you are. And we do. We truly care about the kids. We care about the parents. And just providing something like that where they can come together, and that's what's neat. The parents are there. The fathers and the mothers are together with their kids. And it's something to see families do together, which is getting harder to find. And a Trunk or Treat coming up will be the same way. We have 1,500 people come through our driveway, and the comments from parents are always the same. It's a safe place to do this. So,
oh, can I share too? I forgot what I was going to say. Oh my goodness! Oh, I just wanted to share that Wednesday night, our first kids club, we did have a couple. Well, we had a few new faces to us, and at least one of them had come because of the Family Fun Day. So that was pretty cool. And, yeah, I was real excited to see them. They've come in the past to church, and we haven't seen them in quite a long while. And he was there with his mom, and I was real tickled. I was real thrilled. Yeah, I hope he had a good time. Did you have a good time?
Yes, it was really precious. I was able to, see an employee from Rite Aid who was here with her children. And I know that they walk around town a lot and everything. And, you know, I've offered them rides. She said, oh, no, that's all right. You know, we'll walk. But to see her here and for her to see me here, you know, it was another way to know that if she has anything that she needs to talk about at any time, she knows where I go and, you know, what we do. And I got to tell you what the little boy said. He said, I want you to do this every day.
And I said, I don't think so.
I worked with our missionary, Daniel Boyd, and his son Cole at the balloon pop, you know, the dart. And there's a couple things I want to say. It was really nice to get to know him, Dan, and his son. And I was just surprised at how willing he was and just to help. And, you know, he was like a machine blowing up those balloons, you know. But I thought that was so cool that they pitched in like that. And then the other thing is, you know, when you're a kid, I mean, I remember being a kid and or a preteen, and you can feel pretty insecure trying anything new because you don't want to look like an idiot and you don't want to be a loser, you know? And there were several kids that came up at different ages, and they were sort of standing off to the side and watching others play the game. And I would go over and I'd say, come on, you can try it. Just try it, you know. And so I tried to coax different kids who had never done it. And it's really cool. So many times they got it, you know, right away. And that, you know, and you could just see it just made him feel better about themselves. They were able to do something new, you know. And almost everybody then came back again, you know, and they wanted to keep trying it. And there were a couple of girls in particular where the one girl, she did it every time, but her girlfriend couldn't. I said, don't give up, just come back. And, you know, she came back and she eventually did it several times. So I think it's good to give these kids opportunities to try new things that they've never done, because it does help you feel a little bit better about yourself, I think, anyway.
Just wanted to say thank you, as this is the first year that Lisa and I have run this event, to everybody that did help. It is amazing. It took a small army to make it happen. And just first, couple things. First of all, my respect level for Lloyd and Sue went up again. That's quite an event to pull off. But also, I was thrilled about the number of people that helped, and all kinds of people, the younger, the older, people that may regularly be here, ones that may not volunteer often, but said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to help out. And it was just such an encouragement. And of course, I have no idea how many kids that were there that weren't a part of our church, but a whole bunch of them. And an opportunity to serve with you guys is just wonderful. So glad that we could do that, and thank you for all your help.
Before Pastor Mike comes up to share with us from God's Word, we're just going to take an opportunity. We're going to just pray and ask God's help, maybe pray for boldness for ourselves, that we would share God's Word. And I recognize that people aren't necessarily coming to hear that, but we can share God's love in the way we treat them. We can share God's word in the way we just have communication, conversation with them, and of course, handing them literature, and if the opportunity arises, to be able to explain the gospel to them. There's many ways in which we can share the love of Christ with the people that will be coming this weekend. So we want to make sure that our hearts are prepared and that we have bathed this event in prayer and that we come with the right mindset as we help out. And whether a person is simply setting up tables or hauling stuff or actually there for the day of the event, every part is needed and every part is for the glory of God. And so we just want to take this opportunity this evening just to pray for that. So I don't know if this is something that I'm allowed to do, but Pastor Don's away and I'm new, so I'm going to do this. So I have asked Dale Dunn to start us in a word of prayer. And then if you would like to follow him in prayer, we'll just keep our heads bowed, and then you just go ahead, and right after he says amen, you just begin praying, and when that person says amen, if the next person wants to pray, you go ahead and pray. They don't want to be long prayers. God will hear long prayers and short prayers, okay? So if you just want to say a quick prayer, you do that, and we're just going to move from person to person. Now, if it starts getting too quiet, too long, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to close in a word of prayer as well. Yes.
He's a former Tawanda person that's going to be moving back to Tawanda here. They found a room for him up at the towers, the senior towers, and all he has is the clothes on his back. He needs beds, he needs linen, he needs all that stuff. And with his good timing, he's coming back right during this giveaway. So I'm sure he's going to notice, you know, God's love providing things for him here when he needs it the most.
Amen. All right. Well, let's keep this gentleman in prayer as well as we pray this evening. So, Dale, would you mind starting us off? And I won't know who's going to pray next. So when you pray, just pray nice and loud so that we can hear you, so that we know when your prayer has started and when your prayer has ended, so the next person can pray afterwards, and because I won't know who to hand the mic to next. So, Dale, if you would get us started, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us, that we may be able to share this. Not only your love, but also the possessions that you have given to us through others that are in need. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have bestowed upon us, that you may be able to bestow upon other people. Give us a heart of compassion, a heart of willing to serve. Help us to be precious name.
Dearly Father, we do thank you that we have had these opportunities already as a church to be a testimony for you, to share the love of Christ with others. Lord, we pray that maybe there'll be even those who have been to the Family Fun Day that may be at the giveaway. This might be an additional opportunity for us to reach out to those same individuals again. Or it may be the opportunity to meet someone new. Whatever the case, Lord, I pray for wisdom for us as we interact with the community that will be here, that we would have the boldness that we would need. We would have the clarity of mind. Lord, we know there'll be many distractions. There'll be many hindrances. There'll be many tasks that need to be done. And Lord, we pray that those, of course, will be accomplished. But Lord, we pray that in all of those things that the love of you would shine through us as we take care of the logistical tasks that need to be done, but also as we have opportunity just to communicate, to talk to those that will be coming through. May they, again, see you through us. We are merely vessels to be used by you. Lord, we pray that you would prepare the hearts of those that will be coming now. May they understand that the generosity we have is because we love them, because Christ first loved us. And Lord, I pray that this gentleman who Joe has already spoken of, we pray for both his physical needs as well as his spiritual needs. We know that both need to be met, and Lord, we pray for those things by your will to be accomplished, that both his physical and spiritual needs would be met, and again, he would see your love through us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As a reminder, and Pastor Mike might say more about this, but after the service this evening, we will need to take up these chairs, so if you're able to stick around a little while, just to gather up the chairs and store them away, we'd appreciate that.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, the chairs are going back into the first and second grade classrooms, which are back by the old library. So if you're able to help out with that, we appreciate that. It won't be a lot to put away here. But good to see you. Good morning, everyone. Ha-ha, Eddie. Just kidding. I'm glad you're here. Tonight's going to be a little different in a few different ways here, but tonight I felt God putting on my heart to share with you tonight. Last Wednesday night when I was speaking, we were talking about adventures, and maybe some of you know I had a chance to complete an adventure in my life in late August with a number of friends of mine. I got to finish off kayaking the entire Susquehanna River. So some of you may think that's amazing, some of you may think that's crazy, it's probably both, but it's a pretty exciting moment in my life. I'm really thankful about that. And when I got done, I really felt the desire to go ahead and to share lessons that God has given me in my times that I had on the river. But before I do that, I want to say a special welcome to a few different people. First of all, the Cole family sitting up front here. They're not Baptists. They're sitting up front. The Shanks family loves the Cole family for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is that Sarah was the teacher of Lincoln and Lydia in Tawanda School over here for kindergarten. So if you think they're smart, you can thank Sarah for some of that. And then also, some of my good friends that helped me on this adventure are with me tonight. I have Liz and Rick and Larry back there, along with Jim and Ann. Liz, Rick, and Larry have also paddled the entire river, and they're tired, but they're wonderful friends. I had a great time with them doing it, but they're a big reason I was able to do it as well. And so they're coming up from Wilkes-Barre, Waverly, and Binghamton. Guys, it means the world that you're here tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I love you guys. Thank you. So a little pop quiz before we get going.
don't answer, it'd be cheating on your part. These are too easy for you guys. But five questions about the river before we get into some lessons that I learned. Number one, what do you think? How many miles is the length of the Susquehanna River, as in the main branch? There's a west branch as well, but what's the main branch? I know. What's this number say? Very good. 444 miles. That's right. Ding, ding, ding. All right. Good job. How about the next question here? How much water does our river, right behind the church here, we live very close to it, pour into the Chesapeake Bay in percentage? What do you think? 10%? Around 30%? 50%? Or 70, because I'm a former youth pastor, I put D there. Anybody know? I hear some D's. The answer is actually C. 50%, around 50% is how much river, or how much water that our river puts into the Chesapeake. So quite a bit. There's some other rivers that pour into the Chesapeake as well, but about 50%. All right, next question. What town is the location of the headwaters of the Susquehanna? Is it Cooperstown, Ithaca, Wellsboro, or Orlando? Joe Wheeler knows. I heard that right away. Cooperstown. Yes, the site of the Baseball Hall of Fame, but also, for those of us that love paddling, the site where the Susquehanna River starts. A related question, the next question is, from which lake does the Susquehanna begin its journey? Oh, I love the Indians. Oswego, Otsego, Owego, or Otego? If you get this right, I wish I had candy to throw to you. What is it, Rick?
Otsego Lake.
Otsego Lake, it's B. Otsego is the name of it. Very good. I don't know if there's an Owego, and I think there's Oswego Lake, etc., but that was the trick question. Now, my favorite question, the last question here is, what member of the Douglas family was born during the famous 1972 flood of our river? Was it Steve? Was it Jim? Was it Rita? Or was it Danny? Raise your hand, Danny. As if giving birth wasn't adventurous enough, Mom did it during the flooding of the Susquehanna. We love you, Danny. Thank you for answering that correctly. You knew the answer. All right, so I want to quickly go through 10 lessons that I learned, and when you hear from a pastor 10 that might scare you, don't worry. We will go fast. It's not 10 great long points here, but just 10 things that God taught me on the river. And every one of these I want to pertain to something that Jesus teaches us. So number one, enjoy the beauty of God's creation. I've been asked about my favorite part of the river. I have two answers. Number one, Cooperstown, where it all starts. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. We got to do that just last year. And wow. Really neat. You would never know it's the Susquehanna. We're talking about clear water. You can see the fish underneath. It's peaceful. It's quiet. You're like, this can it be the Susquehanna? It is. It's just, it's gorgeous where it starts. But my second favorite is our own area. The river here in Bradford County, it's amazing. It's got beautiful wines. It's got history. It's got some rapids play in it. It's got the ability here in Towanda to be able to get right off and go right into town. I think it's pretty amazing. Creation is something that God made, and if you believe what the Bible said about Jesus being God, Jesus had a hand in creation. More than that, he was the one through whom creation was made. It says in Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn or the preeminence over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. You get the impression that Jesus did it, and he did it. He is God. So I just appreciate, and if you're some of the people that do this, thank you. I appreciate the posts that I see on social media of creation and your love for creation. It's a great way to be positive through social media, but it's a way also to recognize God as creator and that you also enjoy his creation. Number two lesson I learned is appreciate the life that we have here on earth. That's at the beginning. There's actually a sign that recognizes Cooperstown here. And behind, if you look to my right on the picture there, is Otsego Lake. And right behind that area is exactly where the Susquehanna starts. So many rivers start from springs or streams or things. The beauty of the Susquehanna is when the river levels are correct, you can actually get right in and go. And again, a year ago, we were able to do that in late May. And right there, the second picture there, I think that's Larry there paddling ahead of me. We're taken right off from the lake. That's right at the beginning of our river, the Susquehanna. When I think of gratitude, I think of John 6, 10 through 14. And in that context, Jesus was about ready to feed the 5,000. And it says in John 6, 10 that he had them sit down. He had them sit down in a grassy place. And then he took the loaves, he took the bread, and he gave thanks. And he gave the bread to them. Jesus saying thank you to God. Jesus recognizing that he, of all people, since he's the Son of God, could be just receive thanks and not needed to say that. But he showed us how we ought to act. He showed us to be gracious and to have gratitude. And he was thankful to the Father, like we can be, for what we receive. And we have so much to be thankful for in spite of the fact that we live on an earth that we recognize has the curse of sin on it, as it says in Genesis, but God is so good. And I think about my ability to be able to enjoy the river. First of all, I'm thankful for my salvation, but then everything else that goes along with that. I have my health, I have friends, I've got a good church family, I've got a wonderful family, I've got so much to be thankful for. And when we focus on thanks and being thankful and having gratitude, it changes everything. Lesson number three, accomplish goals that will remind us of the ultimate goal. Yeah, there's me in a kayak, but there's me with a shirt that I got on right now, which happened about 5 or 6 weeks ago, finishing the 444. Friends were gracious enough to have these shirts made for those of us that did that, and it was a neat feeling. I finished specifically with the group down at Shamokin Dam. And it was two hot and hard days. And you know our river generally has been pretty low this year. And it's been tricky to make your way through that. And then toward the end, maybe you have heard of something called the Faberdam. Faberdam's in that area that they put up, and it blocks the river back, that it makes a lake. And that lake is a big lake. And it was choppy. And I'm like, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. Help me, Lord. I'm never going to make it. Well, thankfully, I made it. We all made it. And I'm grateful for that. And you know, when I got done, I was just thrilled about it happening, but it reminded me that accomplished goal in life, as nice as it was, I need to remember that the ultimate goal is to accomplish what God wants me to do and to live for him and to serve him and to glorify him. It says in Matthew 20, 18 through 20, you know, again, we've been focusing on evangelism here. And one of the ultimate goals that we're to do as Christians, it says in the verse there, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's our job to tell others about Christ. It's our privilege to tell others about Christ. It's something that we need not to take for granted, but we need to purposely do. Lesson number four, make new friends. It's amazing how the things that God put in us to do can bring new friends into our lives. I've got three out of the four friends there. I know that's a small picture, but the lady that's not here tonight, her name is Cindy, and by and large, these new friends of mine I met on a trip in 2019. We started to do some serious kayaking with big sections of the river. And do you want to know what the end of the river looks like? Well, there's the lighthouse in Havre de Grace. That's in Maryland. And it's a beautiful area. And it was great to do this with new friends. If I had decided to just stay with a group of friends I normally would have, I would not have had this opportunity to do that. But we live in a society, and I see this very much with our teens, but also it's kind of creeping in with our adults, that we want to do things only with the group of friends that we have. That's not a healthy thing. We need to be willing to go out and make new friends. And if God didn't prompt me and move me to do this, I wouldn't have a whole bunch more great friends that I have now. I'm really thankful about that. In Luke 7, 33 through 35, you know, Jesus, in the Gospels here, talking about friends, he was blamed for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. It says in these verses, John the Baptist did not come eating and drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. It's interesting because in Jesus' refutation of this, he did not deny his friendship with tax collectors and sinners. He was not afraid of them. He had his followers, who he said later on, and we'll see that were his friends, but he also wasn't afraid of people that they wanted to keep at a distance at that time. He brought them in. He wasn't afraid of them at all. He showed great love for them, and they knew it, and they naturally wanted to be with him. That's just a wonderful thing that Jesus teaches us. So I ask, are we afraid of people? May God help us not to be afraid of a certain people group and to push them off. Number five, not only make new friends, but do life with friends. I can tell you that I went on my longest miles was by myself, and I regret that. I went from a shopping down to a place called, I think it was Apple Tree Lookout. I forget exactly what it's called, but it was above Pittston a little bit. And I was really tired at the end of that day, and I regretted doing it by myself because life just goes longer without friends, doesn't it? That includes anything we do. And paddling, it was a real long day, and I regretted doing that in it by myself. It was kind of funny in some ways. I wanted to get a head start, so I got permission from the Sheldon family to actually sleep in the Meshop and funeral home the night before. They had a lot of beds to pick from. I slept on a couch, then I took off the next morning, but I did learn, like, I don't want to do that again. I want to do life, paddling or otherwise, with friends. It's so much more fulfilling, and for the Christian, that's called fellowship. Doing life, spiritual life, all the important things that we do, the eternal things, that witnessing I mentioned, that Bible study, church here together, communion, all the things that we do, prayer that we just did, doing that with one another is something that God tells us to do because he knows we need it. He knows he made us that way. He knows it's good for us. On John chapter 12 through 15, says, Jesus said to his followers, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And later, I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. What an amazing thing that the Son of God is willing to call us his friend. Lesson six I learned is seek places for earnest prayer. That's just one of many spots in the Susquehanna that looks an awful lot like that. That's still water there. But the neat thing with getting out there with on the river for me, I just felt the ability to pray and to pray and pray and to think and consider and listen to God and pray again. And my paddling friends were terrific because we all give each other some space. We all share a lot of conversation, but we all give each other space to do that. And really grateful for the time to pray and earnestly pray. Did Jesus take time to pray? Yes, he did. You know it. In Mark chapter 6, 45 through 46, when he dismissed the crowd, he said goodbye to his disciples, sent them on a boat to go across the lake, and he went away to a mountain to pray. Jesus, perfect Jesus, who is in control of everything, knew that he needed to pray to the Father. Not at all because if there was any imperfection in him, but that's who he is. And he exemplified for us, we need to pray as well. That relationship with Father, Son is shared with us as children of God. We as children need to communicate and to earnestly pray with our Father. God's Son did that as well and showed that for us. Number seven, allow others to challenge your thinking. Being with a group outside of my church family was terrific because we come from various backgrounds, various thought processes, did a lot of talking together, and in a number of ways you guys challenged me to think on a higher level, and I really appreciate that. That picture is a little north of Harrisburg. You may know there's several bridges that cross the Harrisburg area. It's, to me, it's fascinating to paddle under bridges and see how they're made and everything and get a discussion on construction, and which I'm oblivious to, but these guys know better than I do. And the many arches, I think this is a railroad bridge, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but neat to be able to go through there. Of course, we know that Jesus challenged the thinking of his listeners on the Sermon on the Mount. It says in Matthew 5:38 through 42, one of a few different places where Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say," and in this case, he says, "Don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." Boy, that's so contrary to human nature, isn't it? Somebody hits me on the cheek, I'm not going to let him do that. No way, I'm going to get back, or be careful, don't hit too hard. I might try to, you know, I hope you're not bigger than me, but I might try to slap you back. Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. As followers of mine, take it and be willing to show others what it means to be a Christ follower. Be willing to show what God in you looks like. And that's, for those that believe that, they allow Jesus to challenge their thinking. Like, I used to believe this. This is what I heard it said all the time. But I also need to recognize the complete picture here. And Jesus gives me the complete picture of understanding. So it's a good thing to allow others to challenge your thinking. Jesus challenges his listeners, in that famous court statement we make, to accept the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Number 8, beware of traps. Beware of traps. This was like 5 weeks ago down in the Berwick area, so not that long ago at all. And does that look like it's safe to you? Very good answer. No, it's not. You know, maybe from, you know, it's funny when we cross the Tawanda White Sox Bridge, as many of us do, you look down, you see a little white down there, you think, oh, that's nothing. And then you get on top of it, you're like, oh, this could be a problem. Well, that took us about an hour to an hour and a half detour to get around this. And sometimes those traps in the river, we often think of high river conditions. Where I've gotten in the most trouble has been low river conditions. Where I dumped my boat was just like right there on the river by the islands there. And it was enough to scare me to recognize I need to be very careful. Water is nothing to mess around with. One of the guys usually says it only takes 6 inches of water to drown in, right? So we need to be careful of those conditions. And the trap with that, and especially this summer, the river being so low, is just so rocky. If you know anything about the Susquehanna, there's rocks all over the place. That's a huge reason why the river never developed big cities along it. A couple of times you're paddling along, and you look down, and it's like Mount Everest is right underneath you. There's this big pointed rock, like, whoa, whoa, you know, just you have to beware traps all the time. Just one little hint, if you're on the river and you're canoeing or paddling and there's a nice little rapid over there all by itself, don't go over it. It's a trap. Beware of traps. Jesus warned his followers that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were setting traps with their false front, their religious approach, which on the outside looked so good, but on the inside it was corrupt. So that's that Mark 12, 38 through 40 passage, and there's many other places where Jesus, as we know, gets after them for being wrong, for saying the wrong thing and misleading. Jesus knows his followers should expect adversity from the followers of the adversary. Beware of traps. Number 9, I'll keep clicking along here. Never underestimate experience. You guys are going to love this one because this is where I got in trouble. So my first trip meeting Liz and Rick and Larry and the others, there was a few others. I got down, finally found my camp, started looking around, and I realized that everybody was old. I mean, I was the youngest of the group. And guess what? Immediately, I thought a wrong thought, and I thought to myself, I'm on the senior citizen cruise, you know? This is going to be really slow. It's going to take forever. I'm with some people who are older. They're going to need my help. I was so wrong. And I have confessed that sin several times, and they will not let me forget it. never underestimate experience. I was the youngest, but I definitely was the least experienced, and I learned a ton about smart and efficient paddling on the river because of these guys, and a ton about safety and all kinds of things. So thank you, and I hope I'm forgiven now. John 21:18-19, Jesus said to Peter, truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted, but when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate what kind of death Peter would glorify God. But after this, he said to him, follow me. And Jesus had every right as God to say, follow me, in part because Jesus experienced it all. Was there anyone more, if we want to talk about experiences, is there anyone who has experienced more in life than Jesus? He experienced life to the fullest. He experienced death to the fullest. And God raised him from the dead. So he knows it all. And Hebrews talks about the fact that he knows the feelings of our infirmities. He understands the pain. He understands the sorrow. He gets that. He knows that from the experience he had here on earth. So we can trust him and never underestimate our Savior. Finally, the last one I have is glorify God, for this is the chief purpose of man. All of the above things, all the above lessons that I learned made me realize God's greatness in all things. And because of this, it helps me to be a better pastor for you. And because of it, it makes me want to make God known all the more. When we glorify him, we recognize and celebrate his magnitude, his greatness, his brightness, his holiness, all of those things together. God is big. God is big. God is big. And to glorify God is the purpose of our life anyway. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to do it. John 12:27-28, Jesus said, Father, save me from this hour. Should I say this? But that is why I came to this hour, as he works through knowing what's coming in his life. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, God the Father, saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus' purpose statement. And if Jesus committed himself to glorifying the Father's name, we should do the same. So let me finish by reading to you Revelation 22:1-5. And if you want to turn your Bible to read it along with me, that'd be great. Very end of the book. Last book of the Bible, Revelation 22:1-5. Just, I'm so thankful for my experiences on the river. I know that maybe for some of us, the river represents something totally different. It could be destruction. It could be pain, sorrow. You may know somebody that got lost to the river. Thankfully, one day, the river will be recognized as wonderful and pure from God himself, because it talks about an eternity to come in the New Jerusalem. Revelation 22 says, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have any need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. God gave us the rivers, I think, to in part remind us that the day is coming when it will only represent life, that wonderful river of life in the New Jerusalem. And there we will drink of that river, and there we will worship our God, and there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more tears. And when I look at our river, as much as it sometimes is beautiful and calm and other times raging, it reminds me of the day when I will get to participate with all who believe of that river of life. So thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. This journey took several years to complete. Some of you may still believe the pastors only work on Sundays and I got it done on my days off. That's not true. It took quite a while, but I pray that my adventure, my experiences will only help me to grow as a man before you and to lead you well as one of our pastors. And again, just thank you for coming here tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you teach us, the lessons of the adventures of life. Mine was a paddling adventure, but you do have all of us on the adventure of faith to step out and to trust you and to listen to you and to do what you want us to do. So thank you for that, and may we realize that you are teaching us, and may we gain in the lessons that we're learning. May we listen to you, and thank you for being our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I'll dismiss you. Father, would you bless this week? Again, thank you for bringing everyone in today to our church, both this morning and tonight. And thank you so much for the body of Christ. We pray your blessing on this week with our giveaway. We pray your blessing on us individually as we serve you in the capacity that you gave us. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.